Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
With your host, Mr. FN Word, and joined by my big brother, my co-host, my man, my ace in the hole, Mr. J. What's up?
What's going on? What's going on? I think we got a little technical difficulty right there, a little feedback.
There's no technical difficulty. And if there is, give us a call anyway, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Of course, we know some of y'all are a little shy. You don't want to call in. You want to email us. Email us at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. And, of course, as my main man, Mr. J, says, if you want to send the calendar shots, he is looking for the calendar.
Yes, I am.
That's all you got on it? Yes, you are.
Oh, I got more. As the show goes on.
All right. Well, you know how we start. We always talk about the things that crazy people do. And right now there's a social media attempt, a trend. You know how they do that Twitter trend?
Well, yeah.
There's a trend where people are trying to summon a Mexican demon. Charlie, can we play? Charlie, are you up there?
Is that the Churipaco, whatever they call it, that thing?
No.
I can't pronounce it, but you know what I'm talking about.
No, that's a mythological beast. Now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get a real-life demon to hang out with them. A Mexican demon. I don't know if the difference between Mexican demon and Caribbean demon.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they get their Mexican demon on. Kind of crazy. Because if the
Well, how can I put this? I'm going to be nice about it. That's a bunch of bullshit. Anyway.
So you don't believe in demons?
I didn't say that.
So? I'm saying.
I didn't say I don't. I'm just saying.
So how is it?
You're going to have to show me some proof.
I mean.
Show me some proof that there are demons.
So if you believe in angels and demons, how would you need proof?
I never said I did believe. I didn't say I didn't believe. I believe there's other life forces out there.
Okay.
Like that. I believe that there are things out there that are truly unexplained. You know, there's forces beyond what we can conceive of that have a place.
Okay, they have a place.
Yeah, they have a place.
Not in the house with me. Maybe in the house with me.
Yeah, basically. Yep. Not in the house with me. No, I can be outside with that, you know.
Right. Yeah, because if you bring a Ouija board in my house, if
somebody going to get hurt.
Right. Hit you in the head with a bat. that's my counter attack to your demon attack.
I mean, to me, not to digress, but it's sort of like, okay, you know, you go to a Pentecostal church, for example, and you in there cheering, you know, not cheering, but praising, you know, and all that. And then all of a sudden, it's always the heavy lady two rows away from you who gets the Holy Spirit.
Praise the sunshine.
Oh, go ahead. You know what I'm saying? Not to say that she ain't feeling it, but.
You think that she's making that. Speaking in tongues and feeling the Holy Spirit up.
I'm just I don't want to point out what it's just like with Pentecostal. I'm just saying, you know, when you go to certain churches, these, you know, those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look like, okay, is that really going on or is just somebody acting?
Okay. I get you. All right. Well, we're gonna move on because we don't want folks that's Esther Lighthouse, our former guest. That's her thing. I let her attack the church. I just ride on her coattails. What's up, Esther? Give me a holler. In the meantime, the other thing that crazy people do, aside from attacking church folks, they even fought whole wars behind the church. You can't be attacking. A woman who died, a Massachusetts woman, she put it in her obituary to put a final message out to the people who've been attacking Tom Brady to set it straight, saying Brady's innocent. You know, her last things that she wanted to say in her obituary wasn't to the grandkids, hey, I love y'all, blah, blah, blah. It was Brady's innocent.
That's what you call a true diehard fan. Boom, boom. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? No, I'm a backstep on that one. It's not crazy. I mean, that's truly a diehard. You know, she's a diehard Patriot fan, diehard Brady fan. You know, to go that far. To put it in your will or whatever, you know, her last words, whatever she did. I mean, it is what it is.
Really? I want to have some epic words. I'm going to put some shit out there. I want to say some sweet shit to my son. Shout out to my son, Clay Creation. Who has made me a grandfather. Well, grandfather be found out today, extending the line. It's a little boy. So, yeah.
Since okay.
I'm going to beat you to the shout out.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to give you that one because, yeah, you did beat me. Okay.
I beat you. Normally, you got, because I know you got at least 15, 16 shout outs. You got to get.
We got a new listener this week, but
listen to Lucretia and.
I don't know any Lucretias now. Come on now.
Kevinisha.
Oh wow, we're going with the Ishas today. Okay.
Hey, you know that's a pet peeve of a close friend of mine. They hate those double ghetto words where you can say like. You say Craig, Nisha, or...
Well, you mean the urban names. And like Steve Harvey said, if you was born after, like, 75, 1980, your name is a little different.
That's sad, though. It's kind of sad. I'm like, I get if we was going back to comedic names, but, like, Larry, Nisha...
What part? Okay, and then you notice like a lot of those names now, because we totally digress, but
yeah,
a lot of those names. It depends on what part of the country or the region you know you're from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe because those names they're universal across the country.
Now they are. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. You know, it used to be like you'll get something like Shaquanda, Shanique.
You still get those.
Yeah, I mean, but now it's like the mixture of two.
You're looking at a I'll just put it this way. You're looking at a different generation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. A generation, we're going to go back into the crazy since we digress. We're going to digress back. We're going to talk about that generation who things that crazy people do. A woman was found pushing her dead 3-year-old and son in a park swing.
Yeah, that's sad. That's sad because I saw the I saw an interview, a video, the father of the boy, he, you know, he, in his, I guess, news conference, he said, you know, that she was not fit to be a mother.
Yeah. Yeah, that is beyond crazy. But crazy. You know, sort of like the man who asked the city to ban fart smells.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, you done went from you done went from
crazy.
From the woman who had a, you know, pushing her dead child in a swing to
a man, a resident of Pendleton, Oregon, wrote a letter to the city requesting that the city council ban the smell of farts in the community.
What city was this?
Pendleton, Oregon. Yeah. So what they did, and this is dirty foul, by the way, is they updated it to a nuisance ordinance to cover the smell of marijuana. So even though in Oregon marijuana is legal, if they smell it, you can be fined $500 if someone complains about it. Yeah.
And this is what we pay tax. This is taxpayer money, right?
Pretty well. It's your money. If somebody say the weed is
coming. Well, I'm saying, you know, people complain about, you know, the backlog of things going on in city government, state government, federal government. But when you got stupid stuff like this going on, come on now. Is it that serious?
It is to him. Yeah. He's an asshole, and everybody who is on that city council is an asshole. Unabashedly so.
What? Okay, you know what I'm gonna ask? Was this down in
Pendleton?
Was this in Florida?
No, Pendleton, Oregon, man. Pendleton, Oregon. Not.
They got nothing else better to do.
Yeah, but I mean, so if I'm walking down, if I'm living in the neighborhood and I fart and he smells it, I get a $500 ticket, I'm punching him in his face. You're going to get a doctor.
I don't even know where to go. I don't even know where to go with that.
Where is there to go?
Anything else?
Yeah. There's a lot of crazy out there, like an Aspen man who hired a stuffed owl as his defense attorney.
Okay, see, I've held off for, hold on a minute, one moment.
Yeah.
Let me just check on this.
Yeah, you check on that. Wait a minute.
I held off for a good 13 minutes and 30 seconds, and I got to say it.
You got to say it?
This is a white man, isn't it? I'm going racial.
You going racial?
I'm going racial.
Charles Abbott. I don't know if Charles Abbott.
What city is he in?
He's in Aspen, Colorado.
Okay, yeah, come on, because you know we ain't all the way up there.
It's the black people up in Colorado.
Man, whatever. My point is this.
There's a lot of black folks up there, man. Look,
If you ain't in the military and if you don't live in Denver, okay, why are you there?
Why are you asking me that? I always ask why all y'all up in New York. It's like 10 million of y'all in one little bitty spot, but that's just me.
That is totally
different. I'm saying you can't sneeze without hitting somebody. It's like...
You're not used to that. You're not used to being in close proximity. Let's get back to the question.
I need space.
Why is this man... What was he doing that he, you know... For real.
Hey, whatever he decided, he assaulted somebody at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and so I guess he wanted to be funny. He placed the stuffed owl at the defense table and told the judge that the owl who he named Solomon, would be his legal counsel until a public defender was assigned to the case. Yeah. I, myself, if I'm the judge, you supposed to say, well, look, man, I'm just going to give you 100 years. Because you think you're funny. Laugh that 100 years off. That would have been it for me.
But you're not the judge.
Yeah. Maybe I should have been the judge. I'd have cut some of these foolish lawsuits out right off the top. Like, you know what? You got 100 years. You do or say something stupid, 100 years. Period. Right off the top. I ain't playing. That don't make sense to you?
It makes sense, but, I mean, you can't legislate crazy.
Well, look, crazy don't need to be on the street. If he bringing the stuff out and that's his attorney, he cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right?
Yeah, but...
I mean, he got probably lucky.
Okay, but wait a minute. Where is he? He's in Aspen. You know the air up there is very thin.
So you gonna blame the air?
I'm just saying.
We blaming the air?
Yep.
That's where it's at. I mean, if we blaming the air, I'm cool with that.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, he's 8,000 feet above sea level. Come on now.
Why are you trying to defend? There's no defending that. You already know. See, and this is why I'm going to call you out as a hypocrite. Because if you're the judge and do break out that on you, you give him 100 years too.
He wouldn't even got in the courtroom with that, because I would. The moment I see him walking in with an owl or some type of stuffed animal on his shoulder, guards, take him away, psych treatment.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying. See, you wouldn't even let him talk. That's my point.
I'll let him talk.
He'd have busted out, and I'd been like, 100 years. They can plead it down, and you can get 25. General population, no crazy war for you. You want to be crazy? Be crazy with the real dudes. Solve that problem.
Come on, now I know you got some. That's kind of, you know. What else you got?
That's not crazy to you.
It's crazy, but it's like.
That's not crazy to you.
Yeah, but.
No, that's not crazy enough for you.
It's crazy.
I mean, that's the thing. See, crazy people do.
It would have been real crazy if you said, like, he would have brought, like, a mummified, you know, like his mummified grandmother in there or something.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
A stuffed owl into the courtroom. Into the courtroom. That's not crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, why you act like that? That's normal. You're like, you on the fence with that.
Because I've heard worse, and you brought crazier. Last week you told me about the lady who got caught with $100 worth of meat in her pants or inside of her. That's crazy.
Okay.
This was just like, okay.
Well,
that was
that, I just
this, about what you brought today was more like theatrics.
Okay, the woman who was pushing the swing with her dead 3-year-old. That ain't crazy.
No, that's beyond crazy. That's sad. That's mental. That's her. That's basically her in shock.
Okay. Summoning Mexican demons ain't crazy.
Well, that's beyond. That's just stupid.
You know what, man? I don't think we can go any further on this one.
That's just stupid.
I'm done. We need a break. That's it. We're gonna go on break. This is dedicated to Mr. J right here.
Oh damn.
To the ladies, this is Mr. J's love letter to you. and Nubian. One for all.
We're ready, ladies and gentlemen.
Or smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
Yep, and that was Who Can Get Busy Like This Man, Mr. J's love letter to all the ladies out there. Because he wanted to show y'all his sensitive side. No?
Wait, hold on. What did you just say?
I was saying you were showing the ladies your sensitive side. Like, who can get busy like this man? You search the whole world, you'll not find a man. Mr. J is the one who'll make the...
Are we not one and the same, pretty much 2 years apart?
Could be.
So, basically, you talking about yourself too, right?
I'm talking about you. I'm dedicating this. That
are you calling... Now you're going back into that new edition, Mr. Ralph Tresvant, Mr. Sensitivity type of thing. Come on now.
I'm not sitting here doing this two-step saying, you need a man with... I am not doing that. He can believe that, Jack. Yeah. I threw the tape away when I got it for free. But anyway, we gonna move on. And we gonna get into some hate.
Some hate?
We gonna get into some hate. There's some hate out there.
I got a lot on me right now, so bring it. Come on. Let's go.
So, as you know, Michael B. Jordan is playing Johnny Storm, the Human Torch.
For all of you that don't know Michael B. Jordan, it's the brother that did... What's that movie?
Attack?
No.
Fruitville Station. Fruitville Station.
Yeah.
I'm mixing him up from the guy who's in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did Fruitville Station. But, yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, there's a lot of
hate.
I wouldn't say hate, but...
Hate.
Okay, for you people that don't know or just don't follow this, he's about to take on the character... Was that Firestorm?
No. see, when it comes to the comic book stuff, let me handle that.
You, Flame.
Yeah. See... Yeah, you making all the people.
The Human Torch. He's a Fantastic
the
Four character.
The Human Torch from the Fantastic Four.
And in the original version or the basic storyline, he was a white guy.
Right.
But come on now. Times have changed. The movie audience has changed. The demographics changed. So they're modernizing his character. He's no longer...
Yeah, it's not even modern.
And a lot of the purists have problems with that.
I'm a purist.
I didn't say you. I just said a lot of them.
Okay.
But I'll let you take it from there since you are the, you know, this is your genre.
My genre is not your genre.
It's mine, but you're more fluent on it.
I'm more fluent. That's the word.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my new word. That's
all right.
We're
going to get into some fluency.
You have more knowledge on this.
All right.
Yes.
Let me get into some fluency. All right. I mean, for the most part, I will say this. I had a problem with it because I always have a problem with them changing the color on the character when you just like, look, you can just do the character the way the character was intended. There was no racism involved. Fantastic Four, all of them were white. It wouldn't matter to me.
Why didn't they have a problem? Okay, before you go any further, why didn't they have a problem with Kerry Washington's character playing, things, you know, girlfriend or wife.
Now, that I didn't understand. That made no sense whatsoever. It's like, look, he's an orange guy with rocks in his drawers. Would it matter who he's dealing with?
Well, he was doing, remember, she's blind, so she don't know, you know, what he looks like.
Well, you can kind of feel it. I'm going to digress here. We'll go low with it. But I'm like, They couldn't have had no sexual relations. It's like you just...
How do we know?
I mean, but you know, it's a rock. I mean, now, is it a sanded down smooth rock? I don't know. Maybe that might be different.
Let's get back on subject.
I'm saying. We are on Fantastic Four. And I know most people were upset. Now, for me, I'm like, you know, you didn't have to do that. It's... Whatever. But they wanted to, like, black folks wasn't going to see it. Like, oh, Johnny Storm is a black guy. Oh, we got to go see it. Yeah, if the story sucks, nobody's going to go see it. Because it'd be the first weekend, everybody's going to say, oh, it sucked, don't go see it. So if the story is good, it doesn't matter if it's black or white people. But I guess that's an enticement for you and I to go and see it because, oh, there's a black dude in it.
I'm going to go see it anyway.
Yeah, I was too. I mean, at least we know that the black dude ain't going to die.
Right. But, you know, just like when they did the, what was that, the Thor, you know, not Thor, Captain America, and they had what's-his-face play his side, you know, the character, what's his name?
Falcon?
Yeah, Falcon.
Well, Falcon's always been black.
Right, but for those, you know, they had an issue with, I mean, even the purists, they still had an issue even introducing the Falcon into that storyline.
Yeah, Falcon's always been black. He's always been a social worker. Kinda. If anybody had a problem with that, they probably never read a comic book before that had Captain America or the Falcon in it. Just as a FYI. So if you was hating on that, then maybe you need to see Ben Grimm naked. With his smooth.
I don't need to see him naked.
I'm still kind of right there though.
You're right on the edge.
I'm on the edge because I would be curious as to does Ben Grimm, does he have sexual relations? Does he have?
Well, you read the comic book. Does he in the comic book?
No, I'm you know because it's I mean he's kind of like 7 foot. Like a 1,000 pounds, and you know he wear them little bikini shorts, and I'm just saying that.
Does the Hulk have relations?
Well, the Hulk would probably break some shit.
What else you got for hate? Because we are all over the place right now.
No, I'm saying. You think about it, like the Hulk, because it's like certain we. All right, we're going to nerd out here for a minute. I'm sorry. I'm here. I'm feeling here right now. Hypothetically speaking, if there are superheroes out here, if they were out here, I'm thinking, like, one, Black Panther. Black Panther would kind of be like the Don, right? I mean, he's the king of a nation that ain't never been conquered.
Yeah.
And he's single. Would he not have like a million groupies? Like,
yeah.
Girl, I'm getting some of Black Panther.
But you know, okay, we know what the storyline is with Black Panther, but you know the moment that like they bring that to film, to screen, it's going to be watered down and changed over so many times because they're going to be so afraid of stereotyping.
I'm social. I'm talking about the social issue. See, I'm talking about the social sexual part. See,
right. And you're talking about Black Panther. This is a black superhero.
I'm not stuck on Black Panther. I'm talking about like the Hulk. See, there are some people out there. You know there'll be some young ladies like, I could tame the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the moment, okay, but
see,
it's one thing. It's one thing. But wait a minute. Hear me out.
I mean,
hear me out.
You'll have Superhead like, hey, Hulk, check it out.
But see, here's the problem. It's one thing when you did, like, when you look at it from that point of view, because those are quote unquote white superheroes. The moment you introduce somebody like a Black Panther and you use, like, you know, they find out, okay, he's single and all the ladies want him. I'm telling you, they're going to water it down and they're going to take away a lot of what he's really about. Because they want to make him acceptable to a different, you know, a different demographic.
See, here's what I'm putting out to the ladies listening, fellas listening. If Black Panther, any of these other heroes was out, I mean, if they had that sexual component, if we added the real life sexual component, I'd be like, ladies. If they portrayed Black Panther as having a little one, would you be upset? Or would you, like, Black Panther should be hung?
But they're not, that's my point. They're not going to do that with that type of character.
That, that ain't, that's, we being hypothetical right here, right now.
Okay.
So if they existed in this world right now, I'm like, ladies, would you be interested in having sexual relations with a superhero? Like, you know, because I'm thinking, like, there'd be some ladies that want to do the Hulk. I'm guessing there'd be a lot of ladies that want to do, like, Thor, Captain America, the Falcon. And if we going urban, I'm like, wouldn't the Falcon have, like, a lot of groupies? Because he's, like, in the neighborhood. Wouldn't, like, Luke Cage have to be fighting them off? Black Panther have to be, he can't even walk in the city. It's like they throwing draws at him. What's up? I hit you up.
347-826-7435. Chime in. Give us your opinion.
Hit us on. They be hitting me with the Instagram. I mean, like you always talk about the thong shots. I mean, he probably would be getting an overabundance of thong shots. His social media person would be like, hey, we got 1,860 thong shots last night.
Where did this show go wrong? Where did it go?
I mean,
okay, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back.
Am I wrong here? Am I wrong?
It's not like you're wrong or right, but it's like this hypothetical is just really going way, way out there.
But this is an element in the super.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Ask me this.
Didn't this start off being about hate?
Yeah.
Did we kind of digress somewhere?
I mean, we talked about the hate. It was out there. But see,
okay.
We going to bring some love. Because you know what? We never bring love to the black superhero. We always talk about people hating on the black superhero and people who play the black superhero. I mean, you think about it. Like, when Wesley Snipes was Blade, I mean, mm-hmm. They could hate because Blade was always a black character. And I mean, it was the worst black character ever until Wesley played him. You know, see, people don't remember Blade from the Tomb of Dracula like I did when he had the airplane pants from the 1940s and some green boots and the big galoshes. It was like
Black Nerd Alert.
Oh my.
Go ahead, what were you saying?
Oh, trust me, Blade's outfit, if you Google Blade from like 1975, you'll be like, oh no. No.
Wait a minute, hold on, because I think I hear a cricket. It's getting quiet out there.
Anyway, my point is, Blade would be a chick magnet. One, he a vampire, so he'd like look at you like, hey, come here. Right?
Yeah, I see your point. I see your point.
I'm just saying. We give the black superheroes love, like, yeah. Not that we stereotyping that the black hero would be all about getting some draws.
He would.
But the white ones would be doing it too. I mean, that's
no. But see, you see what they did with a lot of the superheroes. I mean, now that the times have changed, some of them they making them come out the closet. A lot of them is gay now. So
yeah, Iceman's gay now.
Yeah, you know.
I'm like, okay, but yeah, I'm just saying that. I mean,
They even got a black Spider-Man now, you know?
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Well, you know, it should be short-lived, but, you know.
Yeah.
See, the moment or the day that they make a black Superman, that'll be it. That,
they,
you know.
They already have one.
Well, you know, they make, I'm saying when they put more emphasis on him.
They already have. There's technically,
so where else is there hatred out there?
The other hatred?
Yeah.
By a rapper, gay rapper, actually.
Which one?
Well,
Lil Wayne, Bird.
No, actually, Lil B.
One, yeah, he came out and said something about Bird. Yeah.
Hey, but I'm like, your name is Lil B. I mean, like, technically, we say Lil Bitch. It's like, you're Lil B. Why? Anyway. So, yeah, Lil B came out with, like, James Harden, you know what I'm saying? James Harden stole my thing. It's like, You can't.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
You can't ball first.
But see, that's where society, that's where social media is just like, it's just running rampant. It's like anybody can get on and say anything, and all of a sudden, all you need is like 5 or 6 people to catch what you said, and then next thing you know, it's like all over the place for no reason.
Yeah, but his name is Lil B.
Well,
ain't that like Lil Bitch? I'm stuck.
Yeah, well,
I'm just stuck there because he's just trying to sell records. It's like, it ain't
about... But he's trying to be relevant, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not relevant. You suck.
He wasn't relevant when he, you know...
Right, when he first came out. It's like,
exactly.
So he got, oh, James Harden, you stole my thing because I'm the one that started the cooking. Look, only 3 people bought your album, so maybe them 3 people know you did it. But right now, no. I don't think it's happening.
Anything else? That's when you know I have nothing else, is when I'm asking for something.
you don't want to hate on Lil B?
I mean,
I'm hating on.
Okay, first, you know me. I'm old school hip hop. So if we're not talking about real rappers or just dudes that really brought something to the game. I got no comment. These young kids, I mean, these kids that's out here now, even the ones that have been out for a minute, they're not, there's no contribution. I'm not, yeah, I guess I am knocking the talent because a lot of them have no talent. It's gone, like when the radio started dying off because, you know, people were able to download stuff and all that and technology changed, that made the field wide open. So anybody with a 8-track recorder and, you know, had the money to buy certain equipment, that means that you were now you're a rapper. Now you can sit in your room all day, quote unquote, your studio, and create something. A lot of these dudes can't even complete a regular sentence in English, and now you want to give them a microphone and tell them that they're a rapper?
Nah, I'm saying.
And I hate to say it, it's not even like brothers just from the South or the Midwest. It's always that brother, no matter what part of the country he's from, who more than likely didn't even finish high school. Or if he did, he just didn't do well. He got out, he did just enough to get out. And he automatically thinks just because he's lived somewhat of a hard life or maybe has some trials and tribulations that he can turn that into a profit and make a career out of it. No.
I was with you until you said the South or the Midwest. See,
what I was trying to say was...
Way to do that.
Because I'm not... It is part regional. It's dudes from the Northeast that can't rap. I'm just saying, depending on, it doesn't matter what part of the country you come from. But if you notice, and if you, I mean, you saying that I'm making it regional. If you notice, a lot of it is from the Midwest, and some of it's from the South.
East Coast bias.
Think about it. And you know where I'll start blaming people? Right around the time Nelly broke, you know, made it big, and then the dude that did Superman.
What?
Okay, then you had Chamillionaire down in Houston, and then, you know, come on. Now, there's dudes that just have no reason to be on the microphone. Now, how that, you know, what that has to do with Lil B, it just inspired a whole bunch of fake, a whole bunch of no-talent rappers. So, I mean, I don't mean to say just the South. I'm just saying there's certain areas of this country where it's not even that they don't have talent. Everybody sounds the same.
It was a lot of whack rappers in New York.
There were, yeah.
And
there still are. But my point is, a lot now you can't tell one rapper from another. And one dude could come from Tallahassee, Mississippi. The other dude can come from Milwaukee, and they sound exactly alike.
It depends.
The music is the same. Everybody's using the same beats. Everybody's using the same.
I know a couple of dope cats out of Milwaukee. My homies, I give shout out to them. The House of M, the House of Mutants.
Right, but you're talking about dudes that are unsigned underground. I'm talking about mainstream supposed rappers.
Yeah, but mainstream supposed rappers, that's just, you know, that's just the garbage. That's the industry. I ain't talking about them. I'm never talking about them.
Well, Lil B is the industry.
I guess.
Lil Wayne, that's the industry.
Wouldn't he be the industry if he sold more than like 10 records? Your family buying
doesn't
count.
It all goes back to what I said earlier. Social media did this. Now you don't need to sell a million. You don't have to sell a million to be a name. All you got to do is have your YouTube and Instagram account or a Twitter account.
Okay.
Think about it.
I'm not.
Which ties back to the whole thing about Lil B complaining about James Harden, you know, stealing his dance. Who cares? This man got bigger issues, you know, his team is about to get, now, you know, knocked out the playoffs. You think he cares about some unknown rapper complains about?
Well, he was at the Drake concert the other night.
If anything, James Harden made Lil B, relevant.
No, he didn't.
Sure he did, because prior to that, were we having this conversation?
I have talked about Lil B before because he has done some little bit shit before.
But my point is this. With him complaining about what James Harden did, brought him back to the spotlight. Had James Harden not done his supposed dance, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, I'll say this. He's still only going to sell 12 albums.
And 11 of them going to his relatives, right?
All right, exactly. Your mama can only buy your album so many times. Baby, I bought it every time I go to the store. I buy your album because I love you.
Going back to the comics for a quick second.
Let's go back to the comics.
Yeah, what do you know about Afro Samurai?
I have the series.
Huh? You have the series?
Yep.
What do you think about it?
It's a great series.
Okay. What do you think about Black Dynamite?
It's a great series.
Do you think that they should be made into like a cartoon, like a ongoing cartoon, or do you think it should be live action movie?
Well, Black Dynamite was already a live action movie.
Action, yeah, right, yeah.
And I actually have the Black Dynamite number one edition comic book there was an island where they were still having slaves and he freed the slaves. It was a great comic. And also, his series went through two great seasons, I may say. Because one, first season had Kermit the Frog as a pimp slapping people in the face with frog dick. That was epic. Two,
okay.
Yeah, Black Panther. I mean, not Black Panther, but Black Dynamite and his orphanage.
Well, that question was actually sent in from a listener.
Okay. Well, I mean, those were ongoing series. I mean, actually, there are quite a few. I mean, there's the Mike Tyson Mysteries, which is... For anybody who never watched it, one of the funniest things ever.
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, because just Mike Tyson being Mike Tyson is funny for no reason whatsoever.
And a quick shout out to Miss B for sending us that question. Thank you, Miss B.
Yeah, we're not hating on your cousin, Lil B. Well, I am.
Oh, no. Don't go there.
Thank you, Miss B.
She knows that she's schooling me over here. She's sending me information about black superheroes.
Well, I kind of know them all. My homie, who's been on the show quite a few times, runs worldofblackheroes.com. Shout out to Ryan. So, I know.
Quick plug, what was that again?
Oh, worldofblackheroes.com.
Okay.
My homie Ryan, he runs it out of Jamaica. You know, hopefully I get some work for the site. So if you go on there, some of my Photoshop work on there. So, you know, he still owes me, by the way.
Okay.
Just in case he's listening, I'm putting it out there. You owe me.
So where else? Do we got any more hate?
No.
347-826-7435, 347-826-7435. Call in, talk to us.
Yeah, we not hating. We gonna go on break. I feel like I need a break. The hate and the and the superhero, it just, I'm kind of burnt. So we can go to some Slum Village.
Ask a question.
You can ask a question.
Ladies, do you love me?
Well, on that note, we got a caller. Caller, tell us if you love Mr. J or not. Fuck a smooth drop.
Love him.
What are you doing?
I love him just as much as he was playing with me talking about Lil B. I don't know that nigga.
Oh, that's right. It's my comic book aficionado.
Yes.
How you doing, Ms. B?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing? Nice show. I'm enjoying
it. We're good. Thank you for calling in.
All right. I see you call in with the low voice. I have to get into my squirrel persona. Like,
here comes.
Geez, hello, baby.
Say hello, squirrel. Say hello, squirrel.
Look, this
how
is
you
no
doing?
Natural. This is
this
all
is natural.
Natural.
You're just laying in the bed, just talking on the phone, like, let me call, let's move, drive, see what's going on.
Like love and basketball.
Ooh, okay.
Well, those are my two favorites right there.
I got you right already.
Did you have a question?
No, I just wanted to let you guys know that I think you were doing a good job. The only thing I could say was this, like bringing it back to the beginning of the show. You were saying something about people were actually trying to summon a Mexican demon or something like that.
Yep.
Has anyone ever, showed proof or anything like that it worked? Because, I agree what you guys were saying about what Ouija boards and stuff like that. Just some things you don't play with because it's real. But specifically, has anyone proved that it's worked, this little ritual that they're doing? Because I've heard something about it, just never really looked into it. And since y'all know something, I need to be a little bit more educated and aware about what these children are doing because I have teens myself, so want to stay current. So please give me a little bit more into if there's any proof or it's just some type of gimmick to draw attention to something irrelevant, like creating a new hashtag.
Well, all right, Miss B. First, I want to thank you for calling in and asking those sexy, sultry questions that just make me want to talk about Mexican demons here. I don't even know, man.
Smooth.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, to respond to her statement, I guess he answered, he answered the question, but, it's something that's out there. It's, as far as our beliefs,
allow
I'm going to stay off that subject. I'm just going to stay alone.
Yeah, allow me.
DJ Squirrel.
Gonna answer the question here. Well, see, for me, I think that if anybody did it because it's a Twitter trend, they're probably already dead. So we won't hear from them.
They're dead with 20,000 followers. That's not
something
right.
Like that. I know, but I'm just saying that's. Do we have to talk about demons? Can we talk about something else? Can Miss B, where are you at? Where are you located, Miss B?
I'm in
now, don't laugh when she tell you.
DJ Squirrel wants to know.
I'm in Houston, but I'm from New Orleans.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you didn't touch this just now.
I love you, Miss B.
I'm
from New Orleans, so you know you're
in
right now. Hopefully you're not my
cousin. Who ward you from?
Hopefully you're not my cousin.
I was born and raised in the Lower Night or across the canal by Treacle, right off of Treacle by the levee.
See? I
and when I left for Katrina, I was living in the Sixth Ward off of St. Philip and Tremaine.
See?
Yes, sir.
We don't. Matter of fact, we just gonna stop the show, and I'm just gonna talk to Ms. B for the rest of the show. You can hang up now, Mr. J.
I got you.
Well, Smooth.
How about this?
I will say this: if you had access to what I have access to, you'd be batting 1,000 right now. I'll just say that.
I'm being nice to a fellow New Orleans resident. I've been in New Orleans first, and then I moved over to the West Bank. Shout out to my homies over in Algiers and Gretna.
Shout out to my family in the West Bank. Love you, T.D., my auntie Jessica and Kiana and Tisa Nam. Hey.
And you talk about me giving shout out?
But I'm not even going to say this. It's something about Mr. J and his peoples, y'all love giving shout outs. Well, one, I want to say, Ms. B, thank you for calling. I hope you become a frequent listener and would love to have you call in some more and ask any questions you want. You know, you got our blanche with us. You from New Orleans, so saints
thank
up. And, yeah, whatever Mr. B is talking about with his head that he's thinking about coming out with right now, we going.
I got no. First of all, I got no hate for anybody. Ms. B is my friend. She's my Facebook friend. I appreciate all my friends that make the time to, you know, tune in and listen.
That ain't
you
what
know,
I'm
so.
Talking about. That ain't what I'm talking about. Anyway,
what you talking about? Share. Don't be stingy. Share. What you talking about?
No, it's just a little inside joke. That's all.
Yeah, he's
a
hater.
No, my feelings right now is like a commercial called Crush.
He doesn't like it every week. I take time from the show to give my shout outs.
A lot of time from the show to give 1,800 shout outs. I want to give a shout out to my boy, Maryland.
Look, Mr. J, let me explain something to you. The best way you can understand why we do that is if you listen to Q93 on Social Shakedown and you hear how we give shout-outs to our people, just giving, you know, a little bit of love because, you know, they're listening, you know, it means a lot. Like, it's like a toast. You're saluting those that are supporting what you do.
Oh, I understand. I truly understand.
I'm just saying that I can just listen to you talk. Take my shirt off. Anyway, thank you for calling.
Yes, indeed. But look, if y'all ever want to talk about some real current events, why don't y'all talk about that?
Hold on, because I'm getting a little feedback. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you're welcome to call. You have the number. You can call in any Tuesday, because that's when we're here on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
So, pass the word around. And matter of fact, if you call it next week, hopefully we'll have some information on what you were asking about.
Okay, well, then the only thing I was talking about is how... Never mind, I'll leave something new for the next show. How about that? Keep you waiting.
Ooh, okay.
All right. That's all. All
right.
While you're at it, just, you know, make sure you get your... you send that picture in.
My picture? What picture?
Oh. Mr. B, Mr. J, yes. We have a smooth drama calendar that Mr. J is hanging up. He is soliciting.
This is Mr. Challenge.
Tasteful song shots.
Well, why don't you inbox me the details, and if it's something that I wouldn't mind participating in, you'll have a submission.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good night. Good show.
All right.
Take care.
Later. Good night, too. All right. So, yeah. Shout out to Houston, formerly from New Orleans.
You got a big old Kool-Aid smile on your face. You know that, right?
But that was DJ Squirrel.
Well, you tell him...
We ain't gonna talk to Squirrel right now. Now Squirrel is over here in the corner, like
she gonna participate. She gonna anyway.
Moving on. B.B. King, as we know, the late great B.B. King passed on last week, and typical part of the course, he's got two daughters who have come out say they think he was poisoned. My daddy was poisoned. Because he left as the executive of the state, his manager of 39 years, and not them.
Yeah, so now they trying to do everything in their power to, you know,
get paid.
I mean, one of the daughters claiming that he was poisoned before he passed.
And coerced and drugged up, and that's the guy that he's been down with half life instead of us. Yeah. So that's what that is. I think it's kind of funny.
I don't even know what to say, but, you know, because this man ain't even, you know, he just got in the grave and, you know, someone of his legendary status. But I'd also like to give belated condolence to Louis Johnson of the world famous Brothers Johnson. He was the bass player. He passed the other day. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That would be Strawberry Letter
23.
Yeah.
I was about to say 22, but it's okay.
I thought it was Strawberry Letter 20.
It's 23.
Okay. Bad. I'm a number off. I guess that's because you was a song. You were 68, but I owe you one, so 22 and
up. Oh, here you go.
that's not right.
Now, you okay?
I'm all right. Actually, I feel really, really good. But
yeah, I've been the butt of the joke all night. So okay, this
is not even the butt of the joke.
It just keeps coming.
No, it's about the butt. You know, we ain't gonna go into that because that would be a side act. But anyway, I mean, back to B.B. King, I had like some chocolate, sweet chocolate on my mind, but no, like a chocolate souffle, no, no. Anyway, just saying, cause you're saying you was the butt of the jokes, and when I think of the butt, I don't think of
just let it go, just keep moving,
Moving on.
347-826-7435. 347-826-7435. Email us at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
Now, I mean, we talked about this Ohio verdict. Not that it's shocking. I mean, at this point, I say it every week. I'm shocked that people are shocked that these verdicts keep happening this way. Yeah, he got off a whole bunch of shots unnecessarily. Someone died unnecessarily. And they're shocked. Oh, he got off. That's never happened before, right? Just saying. That's never changed. Never will change.
No.
I'm always wondering why people always thinking that it's going to change when it's not. No thoughts on it.
You know, it's like this. Like I said earlier, like in our pre, you know, you know, when we were talking before the show.
When you were talking about me, but go ahead.
Whatever. It's like this. I read a little piece somewhere where they were saying that the judge that, because it wasn't even a, you know, it was a, I forget the legal term, but the judge is the jury, basically. The judge makes the final, you know, he gives the final verdict.
Right.
And this is the same judge that I don't know if it was like immediately before the trial started or maybe weeks before, but recently the Policemen's Benevolent Association out there in Ohio endorsed him for another term on the bench. And it's ironic that right after his endorsement, you know, their backing, all of a sudden he has this case.
No.
Yes.
No.
But, you know, there's nothing that can be done about it. Because, I mean, I guess the lawyer for the family or the lawyers for the family, they can appeal it. You know? What are you going to do? I mean, think about it. There were 147 shots.
That's all?
I don't know what, it was either 147 or 137.
Mm.
Like 10 bullets, you know, like it matters.
10,
yeah, but out of those, 41 shots came from his guns. So he unloaded his first clip, and I think he carries a 9mm.
Right.
So however many bullets that carry, what's that, like 16?
Something like that.
Yeah. So he loaded up three times.
Right.
Yeah.
He was making sure he was getting
it. He unloaded two and a half clips worth of bullets. And I'm not even going to defend him talking about, okay, like it matters how far away from the car. At one point, he got not on top of the hood, he was on top of the on the roof of the car shooting into the windshield.
Right. He's making
so at what point can you validate that you felt as though your life was in danger?
I don't think that he...
Granted, supposedly, you know, they chased this car for like, what, it was like 22 miles or something around the city. Okay. They're wrong for that. Even if they felt fear of their life, you know, that can't be negated. They ran from the cops. I understand. They're high pursuit. But once they run out of gas, the car crashes, the tires, blow up or whatever, and you see that they don't have guns, how do you unload 130 some odd, 140 some odd bullets into a standing target?
Well, it's real simple. Don't they shoot at black targets already in target practice?
Well, yeah, but see, okay, and then it goes into court. You don't get it. It's not going in front of a grand jury. This is going in front of just a judge, one judge.
Right.
He didn't even deliberate.
That's in their pocket, right? So,
yeah,
like it always is, always in the pocket.
Right, but.
Right.
Okay, my whole point is this.
What's your point?
My whole point is this, and I know it's going to sound kind of strange, weird, far-fetched, or whatever.
Far-fetched.
Someone, I was watching one of the shows, and one of the, I guess, experts or one of the, guests on the show said, if you truly want to change stuff like this, this is one of the reasons why the importance of a vote counts. And, I thought about it for, a long time. And in situations like this, yeah, if more of us were able to vote, I think a lot of laws, a lot of the verdicts going on with some of these cops in these situations wouldn't happen the way, they wouldn't be verdicts against us, is what I'm trying to say. A lot of these cops would be in jail if we voted in numbers where we really had an effect on how things are changed, done.
You believe that?
I truly believe that.
You believe that if we were engaged?
Put it this way. Let me like you gave me your hypothetical. I'll put it to you in these terms. Ultimately, truly, I believe it's behind it. No matter how many people we get out there to vote, it's always something going on behind the scenes that's really going to make a difference. I believe that much. But at the same time, we have to show up at, for those of us that still have our rights intact and still have the ability to do so, we need to go out to the voting booths.
Oh.
And it all starts with it all starts on the basic local level.
Right. But you see, that's the point. We don't control the local level. I would guarantee that most people don't know who's running on the local level.
Right. We only pay attention to the every 4 years.
Right. But that guy or a woman lives in your neighborhood. Or
right.
Close proximity. They're in your neighborhood. So
They
should be accountable to you. But you don't make them accountable to you. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I keep saying that. And I know it's everybody listening at this point is like, oh, Eric's talking crazy. But in order for anything to change, it has to start at the local. If we're not getting out there and at least trying to make an attempt to go to these local elections and paying attention who we're voting in as city councilmen or aldermen and stuff like that, if we're not paying attention to that, then we can't expect when it gets to like a state level or a federal level, we can't expect those type of changes, those type of verdicts to come in our favor because we didn't do anything at the grassroots.
Right, because that's where it starts anyway. I mean, when
right.
you get up to the presidential level, it doesn't matter. because
you know, that's just the 1% of 1% controlling that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
but I'm just saying in our local communities, for the shit that we have somewhat of a say over.
Well, you have a say over it.
Yeah, if we're not, you know, if we know like next week, and I don't know about out there, but out here, we got an election on June 2nd or whatever, June 6th, whatever, next Tuesday. And, you know, I don't know any of these candidates, but I'm going to still go vote. You know, trust me, between now and next week, I will have read up on all of them. You know, what difference it'll make after the last vote is counted, I don't know.
Well,
but at least I can go to bed the next night or when, you know, that night knowing that, okay, I did put my vote in.
Well, I would contend that in that case, it's not just your one. I mean, what's got to happen during the primary and the campaigns, whatnot, a group of solid voters, like, hey, it's a whole bunch of us.
Oh, yeah.
We down with you if you going to do this for us. I mean, we need this built here. We need this ordinance that's going to allow this to be built here so that you can have jobs in the community, so you can have a tax base in your community. Thus, you can get other things done and your community becomes viable. Capital.
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I mean, listening to you, it just, you know, it just popped into my head, you know, while I was listening to you. Yeah, but I live in a predominantly black, soon to be predominant Hispanic city, you know. And for the, I can't remember the last, well, actually, I do remember the last time we had, like, you know, I can remember when we had a white mayor. I can remember when we had our first black mayor, and ever since then, it's always been a black mayor. And it's funny, not to digress off the subject, but yeah, we get out here and vote in my town. They, you know, it's the same numbers every year. You know, we got one Republican candidate, he runs, or that Republican candidate will run every year, never wins. But the ones, you know, the people that don't vote, it used to just be black folks that felt disenfranchised. Now, at least where I live, it's the Spanish population, because a lot of them are illegal.
Well, I mean, the point is, if you want some change to positively be affected, you got to be part of it. If you're not part of it, you can't complain about it. I hate people who complain, oh, we don't have this, we don't have this. Well, then start it. I mean, it's the reason we have smooth drama in the first place. I'm not going to complain about the news and some of the BS that they put out there. I'm going to put it out there. That way, I can say I affect positive change. Period, point blank. Speaking of which, moving on, Akon doing something beautiful on the continent. He's launching the Solar Academy. That's to help provide electricity to some 600 million people on the continent, which is a beautiful thing. It's scheduled to open this summer in, I'm going to say this badly, Bamako, Mali.
Yeah, you already said it bad. Go ahead.
Mali's capital, and is going to try to give the African engineers and the entrepreneurs the skills that they need to develop solar power.
But you know what? So far, well, what's not being said, a large percentage of the money that he's getting to start this, it ain't coming from people that look like us.
Of course not. But at the same time, that somebody could say it's an issue, but the point is, you're bringing up the next set of engineers and people who can help affect change where they live. Now, whether they're going to do it, totally different thing. But at least you figure, yeah, some of them will get snatched up, hired to go somewhere else. But some of them, I mean, because Africa has, well, what they call Africa, has 320 days of sunlight. So, I mean, right there, solar power on the continent is like, that's golden. It's a no-brainer. So being able to positively affect that. And hopefully, not only will the Solar Academy not only be about energy, but helping people build houses, because housing is needed, and with the solar power. That way you will have that electricity, and it's not about, okay, we're going to start a solar power company and then charge people exorbitant prices who can't afford it, which is another thing. So we'll be watching this, but it's something that was needed, and I commend him for at least trying to bring that something positive.
I hear you.
So I'm not gonna knock it until I see something bad.
Right.
I always want to say, okay, you're doing something positive. I give you a shout out first before I start dissing. You know, because it's a lot of people who will start dissing. Like, you know, going back to Ohio, Governor John. I'm gonna mess up his name on purpose. John Kasich rhymes with bitch. Bitch is my word tonight.
I see.
Describing men, though. You know, as Ice-T famously said a long time ago, some of these dudes is bitches too. And Ohio Governor John Kasich, who said, "We must respect Michael Brillo acquittal." Fuck you.
Why?
Yeah. I'm not even asking why. Fuck you.
I'm going to just say this because I know we're running out of time, but I'm just going to say this last thing.
No, we're not. We got 7 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm just going, you know, and I know we got some listeners out there, the ones that never call in or never, you know, never comment. I'll put it to you like this.
Put it out there.
There's a percentage of people that will never understand how we feel, meaning black people and black men in particular, how this, you know, how shit affects us, because it doesn't affect you. But the moment something happens to you on the same level or same scale as it happens to us over and over and over and over again, you still wouldn't understand it. Because then you'll make excuses for it, or you'll try to call it something that it's not.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, because that's like a segue into what we were going to talk about to end the show. So there was a new professor who came out and said, Jerry Ho is his name. It may be how, but it sounds H-O-U-G-H, so I'm going to say Jerry Ho, because he sounded like a hoe when he said it. Jerry Ho says that he's seen a lot in his 40 years as a professor at Duke University, including that the blacks in his classes just don't have the same desire to integrate into American society as the Asians do. Which is kind of funny, because...
And this
is
coming from a white man, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, Asians... They're not trying to integrate into American society.
They're not. They're really not.
Right. There's a reason why there's a Chinatown and not a Eurotown. Anyway.
So, yeah. Nah, you make a very valid point, and people need to think about that. Asians don't necessarily, just because they may, you know, they may have, you know, reaped the rewards of certain things that, you know, others haven't. Seriously, they're not trying to assimilate into Eurocentric white America.
Well, it's not even about reaping the rewards. I mean, it's like one of my personal, it's going to be bad. I say a personal hero, Chairman Mao, Mao Zedong.
I mean, yeah.
Who was like, basically, yeah, we not going to ever be weak for y'all ever again. And he killed all the people who wanted to even negotiate once he became strong enough. I mean, because he played both sides against the middle. He didn't want the British there. Once he got the British kicked out and they was being attacked by Japanese, once he used the Russians to get the Japanese out, he kicked them out too, and they were strong enough to fight off both sides. And he's like, yeah, we for China, bitches. What? I admired that. I'm like, and what they call it, if we did the exact same thing.
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, in what they call Africa, we did the exact same thing. Be for yourself. I mean, because the issue is cultural. And
it's always going to be cultural.
Right. It's a cultural stick-tivity where it's like, well, hey, if you want to, like you talk about old black towns like Rosewood and where the people, I mean, Booker T. Washington said a long time ago, don't worry about integrating. Just do stuff in your neighborhood. Learn how to build stuff in your neighborhood, and everything will take care of itself. Nobody wanted to hear that.
Shout out to Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Right. Another place. I mean, I did a whole show on that my first year where they were destroyed by the typical, oh, I got raped by a black guy story.
Well, yeah.
But
a lot of that still goes on to this day.
Right. But the point was, it wasn't about that. It was just they had an economic machine and they only dealt in their community and it became a threat. And so that's why they were taken down. I mean, which is all the independent black communities that had banks, artisans, whatnot. I mean, it was about the integration where you went wrong. I mean, it's cool to want to aspire to have the same rights, but that's where it stops. You don't want to integrate and want to be like the people who hate you, because that means that you're going to integrate their hate.
Right, and start hating yourself.
Right.
Or hating those that look like you, yeah.
Exactly. So it's about the rights, because as a citizen, we deserve said rights because we are citizens, born citizens. By proxy right, we supposed to have those same ability to do whatnot. But to take on the hate, the engendered hate, and to pull it into yourself, that's the reason why we are where we are. And we are who we are at this particular point in time. That is what's happening to black folks in a nutshell. So, I mean, this professor, Jerry Ho, shout out to Jerry Ho. May you keep hoeing over there at Duke University.
Well, you know what the mascot is. It's the Blue Devils. Take the blue away, what you got?
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna stick with the Ho.
Okay.
I'm not going
to. Okay, folks.
Yeah, I'm not going to diss the whole university. I'm just dissing Mr. Ho here. I mean, he's technically.
Well, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, folks, that wraps it up for us this week. You know, it's been nice. It's been real. It's been regular. We'll be back next Tuesday.
Are we?
You got any last words? Yeah, we'll be back. I'll be back. You going to be back?
I'll be here.
Okay.
I'll just say this for my man, Mr. J. I'm Mr. F the N word. We thank all our callers, Miss B, all our regular listeners.
No, he got a girlfriend now. He done fell in love, y'all.
There we go. We appreciate all the listeners. Thank you all for listening, and we look forward to seeing you back.
Send those pictures in.
Please send your thong shots to him so he can be happy. Peace.
Smooth Drama at smoothdrama.com.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
Smooth. Drama.